What's good? What's good? I am back. Yours truly, the one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Typically, I'm doing a lot of BKFC bare knuckle fights on here, but this week we're going to bring on the competition, which is BYB, and we're going to bring on the CEO of BYB, the one and only Greg Bloom, and we're going to talk about the BYB today. Let's get into it. Greg, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Paul. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing good. I've actually been wanting to expand out into doing a lot of BYB interviews, so I'm glad y'all took the time to reach out to me to do this.
Yeah, definitely. We love that you're having us on your show, and hopefully this is just the beginning of some more BYB faces on the podcast.
Yeah, I've interviewed one of y'all's fighters. I think it was Matthew Morton.
Okay. Yep, the Spider.
You familiar with him?
Yeah, he fought over in our Leeds
event. Yeah, the Spider. Yeah, he had an interesting story. So I want to start with a couple questions about you.
Okay.
So I want to start here. You are an entertainment lawyer. Like, what are some of the duties of an entertainment lawyer?
I mean, for the most part, we are negotiating deals, reviewing contracts, and just giving guidance to athletes and entertainers, depending on what stage of their career they're at.
Is there any like athletes that people would probably know that you represented?
Yeah, but we do, you know, part of our office policy is that we keep who we represent confidential. It's something that the clients appreciate, but I can tell you, you know, we've worked with platinum recording artists and producers. I've worked with Olympic gold medalists and world champion fighters. As well with people who are just at the beginning stages of their career. So we really run the whole spectrum of people, from people you've never heard of to very well recognized athletes and entertainers.
So let's say I was an up and coming fighter. What would be the process of me trying to get into the BYB?
Well, first, if you're an up and coming fighter, I would, you know, depending on who you reached out to, you would probably get directed to Mel Valenzuela, our Hall of Fame matchmaker. And he would really do his due diligence on you as a fighter and sort of check what you've done, where you're going in your career. You know, are you just starting out? Are you a well-recognized name? And from there, he would place you accordingly within one of our events.
Now, I was noticing as I was reading, y'all typically only do one fight per month, opposed to like BKSC that might try to do two. Why is it y'all like to stick with the one fight per month?
Well, it's just, you know, it's a natural progression from what we've been doing. In 2023, mm-hmm. we put on 9 shows. In 2024, like you said, we've been doing one a month. And next year in 2025, we'll probably up that to about 16 events. So it's just really, we want to, you know, keep a steady pace. And we don't want to oversaturate the audience, but, you know, we feel that we're on a good growth curve, and next year is going to be our biggest year yet.
I never thought about that, the oversaturation early in the bare knuckle game. I never really equated that into this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
so,
you know,
go ahead.
We are, you know, I mean, we're trying to build a brand, and the best way to build a brand is to, you know, continuously be in the public eye, but you have to do it in such a way that people are going to keep coming back. So we think that a slow and steady approach that we've been doing, it's helped us to grow our brand and our audience pretty rapidly.
And now y'all typically only do like 5 fights per card, correct?
No, we do 9, about between 8 and 10.
Oh, 9?
Usually.
Okay. When I was looking at the website, it seemed like there was only 5 per card on the website.
Yeah, I mean, we have TV partners, and the TV partners might only take a certain number of our fights. but we do a full card of between eight and 10. And when we're in the UK, we do a little more, usually about 11 or 12 fights per event.
And what's like the typical average attendance for a BYB event?
Right now we're at 2,000 seat arenas roughly, and we've been selling those out pretty well across the board for the last, most of last year. We'll probably graduate to about 4,000 or 5,000 seat arenas sometime in 2025. But again, our methodology is slow and steady. We want to make sure that we always have a full house and that we're bringing the entertainment to the crowd. So, again, we're just moving along very methodically in our approach.
Now, when you say you sell out, now y'all don't give out any free tickets at any of these shows like BKFC, right?
Well, we do every show. We do give a small amount, about 100 tickets, to the veterans because we support our troops, we support our veterans and our first responders. But besides that, they're selling like hotcakes.
Yeah, because one thing I noticed about BKFC, they over exaggerate the selling out because they pass out so many free tickets.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to their business model, but as far as BYB, again, that's the reason we're staying at this level right now is because we want to ensure that before we graduate to the next step, that we're giving the fans, what they want, and that the fans are coming to see what we're putting on. And now that we're starting to have to turn people away a little bit, we know that it's going to be time to go to the next level.
Now, the fighters' social media followings, does that ever play a factor into the fighters getting bigger fights in BYB?
No, I mean, I it's great if the fighter has a big social media, but we are a fight organization first, and we want to put the best talented fighters against the other best talented fighters. All of our events are usually 50-50 fights. There's no gimmies in BYB, and I think our matchmaker Mel Valenzuela does a great job of that. But to answer the question, no, I mean, social media is great and it helps brand build both the company and the fighter, but we're looking for the best of the best in bare knuckle fighting, not the most popular.
I like to hear that. I really like to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, it's this is the fight game, and we don't think people should rise to the top based on their popularity. I mean, it's great, and again, that just helps them grow and helps their star shine. But we want people who are the best and the most talented fighters first and foremost.
Now, why did y'all decide to go with 6 3-minute rounds opposed to like maybe BKFC's 5 2-minute rounds?
We felt that it gave the fighter a little more of a ability to showcase their talent. In other organizations, you see fighters go in there, the ring's a lot bigger, they're rushing in to throw as many punches as they can, they're chasing each other around the ring. It's just a different thing. We have the trigon, the smallest surface in combat sports, that by its organic nature pushes the action. So by doing the 3-minute rounds, it allows the fighters to get into more of a rhythm. They're not rushed, and so they're really able to feel their way through the trigon and get into the match before they're really pushing the aggression.
And now, for professional debut participants, it says they shall be restricted to 4 2-minute rounds. Why is that?
That's a rule that was made under the Unified Bare Knuckle Rules. And so it's just something that we abide by. I mean, that's for all organizations. There should be for all
So,
organizations.
okay, I never really noticed, but I don't think the other organizations do that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, can't speak for them, but we're going to follow the rules to the letter of the law, and that's what the Unified Rules calls for, so that's what we do.
Yeah, I never knew that, but I totally respect that. I totally respect that. Participants shall be restricted to participate in 2-minute rounds. Why is that?
Again, that's something that was agreed upon in the Unified Rules. If it was up to us, we would probably extend that to 3 minutes. You have a similar argument going on in boxing right now. Like if you watch the Amanda Serrano Katie Taylor fight last week, I mean, those girls are just as talented as any male fighters and should have the opportunity to fight in a similar length round. we feel the same way. But again, we're trying to abide by the unified rules. And until those change, that's sort of what we're left with.
Now, do y'all have a female fight for every event?
Yeah, we try to. We're very proud of our female division. We think we have a lot of great young talent. And the truth is, I mean, they're some of the most exciting fights that we have. And if you go to our YouTube channel, they're probably some of the most viewed fights that we have. So our women's division is very strong and very talented. So we like to at least put one on one female fight per event to showcase the women that we're working with.
Yeah, and the thing I notice about the female bare knuckle fights, they tend to go a lot longer because they don't typically got the knockout power, but they got like the knockdown power. And I think that's right. What really makes exactly. The female fights so good. You know, the guy fights could be over like that, you know, and in the female fights, they always usually go the whole time pretty much.
Yeah, and the one thing that I've noticed is, you know, no one likes to get hit, but girls especially don't like to get hit. The second a girl takes a shot to the face, she, you know, you see it in her face. She's like, okay, it's on now. And she'll start pushing the action and they don't stop. And again, they're some of the most exciting fights that we have.
When I interviewed a female fighters, I was asking them this, do you think like the female fights, they tend to get a little bit more personal than the male fights?
Depends on the females that are in there, but I think, you know, that the females in a want to really bring all the action, you know, they take it a little bit more personal. But I think, again, you know, we see it in the male fights too. There's a lot of animosity sometimes, but traditionally by the time they're finished fighting, it's all love in the ring.
So who came up with the triangle ring?
The triangle ring was created by Dafir Harris, Dada 5000, and the owner of BYB, Mike Vasquez. When this all started, before there was any bare knuckle going on in the United States, Dada 5000, as you might have seen the dog fight movie on Netflix, the documentary about him doing the fights in the backyard. That's BYB, stands for Backyard Brawls. And he had fashioned a ring that was shaped like a triangle out of clothing. Wire, you know, where you would hang clothes, and he would have people come in from the community and they would fight it out rather than shoot it out in his community. So it was a way for the youth to really settle their differences. And over time it became so popular, and we're talking back in, I think it's like, you know, 2013, 2014, it became so popular that the Florida Commission said, guys, you got to do something about this. The crowd is so big, you know, you have to put some structure to it. And so he was introduced to Mike Vasquez, and together in that first meeting, they wrote on a napkin, they created the Trigon. Since then, we've patented the Trigon, which we own a patent on it. We're the only other sports property besides the UFC in combat sports to have a patent on our ring. And from there, the rest is history.
And are y'all are the first like professional bare knuckle organization, correct?
Correct. We're the first professional bare knuckle organization in the United States. There's a company, BKB, BKB, who we acquired back in May, was doing it probably a couple months earlier than we were in the UK, but just around the same time.
Now, what is the opinion from the fighters about the triangle ring?
Yeah. You know, it differs, but most of them love it. I would say 95% of the fighters love the Trigon. They're tentative at first. You know, they look at it, they're like, oh, it looks so small. I don't know if I'm going to be able to box in here. But the second that they get in there, they say, you know, and they start moving around, there's a couple things they notice. Number one, it's small, but it's not as small as it looks from the outside. And number two, you can still box in it. You know, we have a lot of people who come from a boxing background who are super successful in the Trigon. It's just a matter of your mentality. But one thing I can tell you about the Trigon, it tells you who you are as a fighter. You know, I've seen it break fighters and I've seen it make fighters. So the second they get in there, you could sort of see in their eyes, they either start to smile because they love it, or you see sort of a little bit of fear come over their face, because once they're in that corner, unlike a square where you can slide out or a circle where you can circle out, the only way out is forward. So it's very unique, and it's built to bring the action. So it adds to the uniqueness of the Trigon.
So I see y'all do a lot of shows in the UK, Denver, a few in Biloxi, Mississippi, a lot of different spots in Florida. It seems like you guys try to focus on markets that haven't, in cities that haven't been tapped into. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean we want to find markets that have very deep combat sports fan bases,
Okay.
and we want to be able to go to places that we can come back to, that we're gonna draw an audience. So, again, like you mentioned, Biloxi, Denver, Miami, Jacksonville, and these are South Carolina. These are places that we've repeatedly gone to because we've been able to get a little bit of a stronghold as to a fan base there. But we're also going to start branching out. Every year we add a couple new territories. Like January, we're going to New Mexico. We'll be in Albuquerque for our first event. And then in 2025, we should hit about two or three new cities as we start to ramp up the number of shows we do.
So, being that y'all do a lot of events in the UK, was that part of the reason why y'all decided to buy the BKB?
Yeah, I mean, for a number of years prior to acquiring them, we had a talent exchange going on. We would always send one or two fighters over to their events. They would send a couple fighters over to our events, and we built this relationship. And over time, we had done a couple shows over there in London. We did one in Dubai, and so we were testing out this international market. And what we come to realize is that the UK fans are so hungry for combat sports. And our product was so well received that we said, you know what? Instead of competing or having a friendly rivalry with BKB, let's make it one company and let's really blow this shit up. And it's what we did. We've gotten a strong foothold in the UK. We are literally turning people away from our fights. They fill up. We open the doors 2 hours early, and within 15 minutes, the place is packed. So
Wow.
They love they love bare knuckle fighting over there, and they love the Trigon, and they love BYB. So we're going to keep doing shows over there and growing our product in the UK.
Wow. And Dubai, well, y'all, has anybody else done bare knuckle in Dubai besides y'all?
No, we were the first company to do a bare knuckle event in the whole United Arab Emirates, and we're working on some stuff to go back there. And hopefully by the middle to end of this year, you'll see us back in the region.
Now, I noticed y'all did some shows in Rock Hill, South Carolina, it looks like.
Yep.
Like, when is some, are y'all trying to tap into the North Carolina market at all?
Yeah, we're just waiting. We were just waiting for the sport to become legalized there, and I'm pretty sure it will. If it hasn't already, towards the end of last year will become or the end of this year will become legal at the beginning of 2025. So as soon as that becomes available, we'll definitely hit that territory because great fight fans out there, especially around the Charlotte area, and so we'd be very eager to go out there.
Well, I stay in Fayetteville, North Carolina, also known as Vietnam, and I could tell you the military base, it would, I mean, if y'all get out here at the Crown Coliseum, the military would pack it in, man. I'm telling you.
Okay. No, that's great to hear. And it's definitely, we want to hit the Mid-Atlantic region has been very good to us. And so the second that we're able to get into North Carolina, you'll see us there for sure.
Now, how many states total have legalized bare knuckle? Do you know?
Off the top of my head, I want to say it's upwards of about 30,
30.
and growing. I know that roughly, give or take. But there's a lot of states that I think would legalize it if someone would bring a show there. Again, when I was at the ABC convention when they last year when they were approving the unified rules, that's the annual meeting when all the boxing commissions come to one place. And I was talking to many of the commissioners, and they were all for bare knuckle fighting. They just wanted someone to come to them and say, "Hey, I want to put on a show." So I think by the end of 2025, you'll probably see it legal in almost all 50 states, give or take a few holdouts. But I'm going to suggest that by the end of this upcoming year, you should see it pretty much legal across the board.
Do you think like bare knuckle is the closest thing we're gonna get to having a day gladiator kind of thing?
I mean, I think it's the realest type of combat sport out there. I've been involved in boxing and MMA and all types of combat sports for almost 25 years. And when I saw this for the first time, I knew for 100% fact that it was the next big thing. I dropped everything I was doing, you know, dropped my law firm, dropped everything I was doing to come work for BYB because I saw the future. And it's just everyone can, it's so relatable. Everyone's been in a fist fight or seen a fist fight. So they get it. You don't have to educate the public on anything. And it's so exciting, especially in the Trigon that is consistently pushing the action. And the knockout ratio is so high that there's no fights really get left in the hands of the judges, that it's really just the most exciting thing in combat sports right now.
Now, you becoming CEO, that was in, well, like 2 years ago, correct?
Yep, 2023.
Now, how long have you been involved with the organization?
I was the attorney for BYB since late 2019. And then I was working, you know, behind the scenes with Mike Vasquez for a couple years. And then as he had grown the product to a stage to where he really needed some help from someone who had a lot of industry inside information, you know, he reached out to me and he made me the offer to be the CEO, and I jumped at the chance.
I know that's right. So this guy, Laurent T. Nelson, LT Nelson, they say he's the best bare knuckle fighter in the world. Do you agree with that?
As of today, yes, 100%. He has beaten everyone who's anyone in bare knuckle fighting. He's gone up against the best of the best, and he's willing to take on all comers. He's won belts in our organization in two different weight classes. And he's just one of the toughest fighters I've seen with my own two eyes. I think he's the best in bare knuckle until someone beats him.
And if I'm not mistaken, he goes by LT Smash Nelson, correct?
Correct. And he's going to be headlining our January 11th card in Albuquerque, New Mexico, in a rematch against the UK fighter, James Kennelly, who he fought to a draw, actually, in January of this year in one of our shows in South Florida.
Now, could we ever see something like the best BYB fighters fighting against maybe the best BKFC fighters? Is that a possibility?
Anything's possible, but the difficulty is we fight in a real ring in the Trigon, and they fight in a giant circle where you can run away. And so for that to happen, you know, it would have to be settled in the Trigon because it's the only real fighting surface in combat sports, especially bare knuckle.
Now, like, so we had like the best of the BYB versus the best of the BKFC. Definitely. I know you're going with the BYB, correct?
Of course.
Yeah. Cause I interviewed, you probably know him, Brandon Malo Lambert. And he was talking very, very highly on BYB. He was talking very, very highly on BYB. And of course, you know, he has a thing where he hates the BKFC at this point. But he was just saying that y'all's fighters, y'all have a lot of fighters that actually train in professional gyms opposed to other bare knuckle competitions. Can you verify that?
Yeah, I mean, all of our guys are real professionals. You know, they come from real professional backgrounds and they train in professional gyms. You know, there's other organizations out there that are looking for, you know, what they call prospects, I guess. So, you know, you're taking guys with lesser experience and lesser records, looking, I guess, you know, for some new talent. But for us, again, we have the best matchmaker in the business, Mel Valenzuela, who's been a matchmaker in boxing, MMA, and bare knuckle. So he's well received from every gym across the country and most gyms internationally. So he's a real great talent scout. And because of that, he's been able to find the best of the best and bring them to BYB. And especially because the way that he matches the fights, and they're all 50-50 fights, these guys get the best and the toughest experience in bare knuckle. So by the time they've had three or four fights, you know, there's not many people from any organization that can hold a candle to our guys.
So y'all don't like bring in like guys on debuts and have them fighting guys who already fought like four or five times, right?
No, I mean, again, all our guys get matched properly. If we bring in a debut guy, maybe he's going to fight a guy who's 0-1, you know, or 1-0, maybe. But we try to match our talent according to their record and their skill set. We don't, you know, again, one thing you'll never see from BYB traditionally is people who are overmatched.
And like matchmaking, how's that process typically work?
I mean, it's not something that you can just jump into. You know, you have to build relationships with gyms and fighters across the world. And you have to really understand, you know, your talent base and what you're looking for. So it's a lot of due diligence. It's a lot of research, and it's a lot of watching film to really see who you're dealing with. I know that when a fighter gets presented to us, our matchmaker will sit and study all of their past fights to sort of see the skill set that the fighter has. So he knows, A, is this fighter someone that we want on our roster? And B, who do I match this guy with as, you know, I'm helping him build his career.
So it's like a manual process. Y'all don't involve any kind of like algorithms or anything of that nature?
No, not that I know of, unless, you know, I let Mel has his own way of doing things. So I leave that to him.
And y'all's rankings, y'all have your own rankings?
Yeah, we just put out our rankings a couple weeks ago, our first set, and those will get updated monthly as our events happen.
And besides LT smashing Nelson, like, who's some other really good fighters in the BYB that people should keep an eye out on?
I mean, the first one that comes to mind is Gustavo Trujillo. He's our heavyweight champion. He's 6-0 with 6 first-round knockouts, one of the toughest guys in bare-knuckle fighting. You got Julio Tenori, who's our 135 champ. Liam Rocky Reese, who just won the title.
Familiar with him.
I think it was the 155-pound title. He won over in our October event. We got a ton of talent. Some of the benefit of what we've been doing over the past couple years is, unlike other organizations, is instead of grabbing guys who are sort of at the end of their career and, you know, giving them a fight because you want to capitalize on their name, we've taken the last 2 or 3 years to really build a foundation of young, hungry talent. And now you're starting to see the benefit of that. I mean, we got guys like John Barnard, who is 4-0 and ready to fight for a world title. I mean, you got guys like Josh Oxendine, Mark the Shark Irwin on the U.S. side, James Kennelly, Dan Lurwell, Dan Podmore on the UK side. So we are just building a deep, deep roster of hungry killers.
And that first name you named, is that the guy that they say is like the John Jones of BYB?
Who, Gustavo Trujillo?
Yeah, I think I seen a post where somebody said that he's like the John Jones of BYB.
Yeah, I mean, he very well could. That's a fair comparison. I mean, again, he's 6-0 with 6 first round knockouts, you know, and a couple of those wins came against guys in the other organization before he came over to us. But there's not one person in the bare knuckle landscape that's been able to last more than 2 minutes with this guy. He's a real freak of nature when it comes to bare knuckle fighting.
Now, there was a fighter that was in the BKFC that y'all recently signed to a multi-year deal. The Gary Slater guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do y'all go after other organizations' fighters sometimes and try to get them on multi-fight deals if you feel like they got
never
really good potential? Never?
No, never. We will never actively pursue someone from another organization that's under a contract. I want to be very clear about that, because there's other organizations that do that to us, and we don't stand for it. So the first question we ever ask a fighter is, are you signed to a multi-fight contract? If the answer is yes, that's where the conversation ends. If the answer is no, and we think he has talent, then he's a free agent. And of course, we'll continue the conversation. So someone like Gary Slater wasn't signed to a contract. You know, he's okay. A young heavyweight out of the UK with a lot of power. And we're looking forward to watching him fight in the Trigun.
You think like things like that kind of hurt the other bare knuckles where they only put them under these little one fight deals, and then somebody like you was able to come put them on a multi-fight deal? Because I'm pretty sure these fighters want multi-fight deals as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, listen, fighters want to stay active. And that's one of the benefits of signing with BYB. You know, we keep our guys active. We give them 3 to 4 fights a year. And we're not going to sign you unless we're going to keep you busy. So I can't really speak to the other organizations and why they would do that. But for us, you know, again, we don't sign everyone and anyone. You know, we're very selective as to the athletes that we sign to our roster. But once one of the promises we make you is we're going to keep you active.
And that's definitely good, because all the fighters I've interviewed, they all say they want to fight at least 2 fights a year minimal. And sometimes you'll see these fighters don't get but 1 fight a year. Sometimes it's over a year and a half and they still ain't even fought. And I just don't think that's a good look for the fighters and whatnot. So the multi-fights definitely sound good. Now, how many total fighters do y'all have under your BYB?
We're close to about 200 fighters under contract.
Wow.
You know, because when we acquired BKB, they had a significantly deep roster, and we were already building our roster. So we have, you know, 200 collectively, I would say, between the men and the women fighters. But we have a deep roster, and we have a great roster of fighters. And you know, we're going to start showcasing a lot of this talent even more in 2025.
Now, what's some of the countries that you're looking to take BYB into in 2025 that it might not have been in?
We have some other areas in Europe that we're looking at right now. You know, again, I don't want to disclose too much because we don't want anyone else front running us, but we're gonna look into Mexico and South America and more places throughout Europe, and we're looking at the Far East as well, and we're gonna see what we can do out there.
And how legalized is bare knuckle in other countries compared to the U.S.? It seems like it might be more legal in other countries.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, some countries it's a little more difficult to try and get it legalized, but I would suggest that it's not as difficult as going state by state in the U.S.
And what do you think would like prevent a state, besides like not having a show there, what would make a state not want to legalize bare knuckle fighting right away?
Just being uneducated as to the product. You know, what people don't understand is they look at it and they say, oh, it's so brutal, it's so bloody. But the medical fact of the matter is that between both organizations, we've done a multi-year study, a medical study, that every single fight that's ever occurred in bare knuckle in the U.S. has been documented. And what that data has shown is that bare knuckle fighting is less dangerous from a traumatic injury perspective, 5 times less dangerous than MMA and 4 times less dangerous than boxing. So that's the science and that's the math. Yeah. So for a state not to legalize it under any other condition is just, you know, being miseducated or uneducated to the sport itself.
Yeah, because you take a lot less punches in bare knuckle than you will in boxing.
Yeah, and people forget that the glove was invented to protect the hand, not the head. So you can throw a significant amount of more powerful punches at a lot more a higher volume of punches per round. So what does that mean for the guy receiving it? It means he's taking that much more damage. In bare knuckle, you have to be a little more calculated with your punches. You can't throw a million punches in the same way or you'll injure your hand. So it's a lot more technical of a skill set than traditional boxing, believe it or not.
And I actually did not know that about the gloves. So the gloves were invented to protect the hand and not the head. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I would have thought it would have been the other way around.
Yeah, but now what, when you have that, you know, 8 ounces or 10 ounces of padding, you know, it's just like if you try to hit a heavy bag with a bare hand or with a glove, what can you do more?
So y'all got an event coming up December 6th, Charles F. Dodge Center, Pembroke Pines, Florida. I mean, y'all are all over Florida. So does Gustavo, how you pronounce his name?
Trujillo.
Trujillo. So that's the main event against Richie Leake. What can you tell me about this Richie Leake guy?
Richie Leake is the BKB. He was the BKB heavyweight champion when we acquired BKB. And
okay,
part of the deal there was anyone who had a BKB title would immediately get a title shot at the current BYB champion for what's now the BYB Police Gazette Diamond Belt. And so Richie Leake was and is the BKB current heavyweight champion. So he's coming over to fight Gustavo Trujillo. He's a big, strong guy, a lot of power in his punches. He's never been knocked down. So it's going to be a test for him because he's running into a guy who's 6-0 with 6 first round knockouts, who's fighting a big, strong guy who's never been knocked down. So something's going to give.
So you got a fighter on here named Richie Palomino. Is he related to the baboon, Luis?
No, I don't believe so. He's a fighter out of California. He's a new signee for us. And
okay,
he's coming over to fight. To fight for the first time in the Trigon.
And you got two female fights on this card?
Yeah, we do. We have a title fight. Jamie Driver is going to be fighting Sonya Dreeling in a rematch for the, I think it's the super welterweight title. They fought a couple years ago in London to a split decision. And so they, you know, Jamie Driver has been eager for this rematch. And then we have a debut fighter, but with a lot of experience, Cuban fighter who's going to be fighting Shelby Boom Boom Cannon, who is one of our female fighters who's I think she's 2-1 in the Trigon. Very tough fighter.
You don't typically see that, like the two female fights. The females are definitely underrepresented in bare knuckle, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that, and you know, for a number of reasons, there's not as many girls I think who are willing to take on bare knuckle, but those who do are very tough, and I think we've done a great job of showcasing them and finding a lot of up and coming talent.
And how many weight divisions do you have in for the females? So I see super flyweight and welterweight.
Yeah, I want to say we're still growing these weight classes. You know, we'll be able to fortify a lot of them. We have, I think there's 7 weight classes, but they're not all very full. So there's a few of them that are more uniform than others, like our 115 division, our 120 division, and then a little heavier weights around the 140 and 145 are a little more fruitful with participants.
Like, as you fill in some of these divisions, like especially on the female side, how many typical fighters do you need in a division before somebody can actually fight for a belt?
I mean, we want to have at least 6. You know, we want to have at least enough to build a ranking system in there. But it depends. If it's a new division and we think that we are going to be able to bring a lot of talent in, we may start it off with a title. And that way we have someone that people can aspire to fighting. So it really just depends.
And you got a fighter, Robert Duran Jr. Any relation to the Durans?
It's his, he's the son of Roberto Duran.
That's Roberto Duran's son?
Yep. It's Roberto Duran's son.
And how good is he?
He's great. I mean, he's one of the toughest bare knuckle fighters you'll see. If you watch his last 2 fights, they've both been all out wars, and he's 1-1. You know, he got a very controversial split decision in his last fight, but he's a really, really tough guy, and I'm very excited to see what comes next with him.
I mean, I'm looking at the lineup, man. There's a lot of big dudes on this card.
Yeah, this is going to be a great way for us to end the year. I think it's going to be one of our best cards of the year. I mean, it's super deep. You know, you got Jared Grant fighting Josh Oxendine. You got Uneski Gonzalez is making his debut, former top 10 cruiserweight or light heavyweight in the WBA. So from start to finish, this is going to be a very, very interesting card.
Now, I always ask this. Can bare knuckle be as big as the UFC?
100%. 100%. It's just a matter of just like the UFC. You know, if you recall, when the UFC first came out, it took a number of years, about 5, 6, 7 years, for people to even start recognizing it as a true combat sport. And then it took another 3 or 4 years for the public to accept it and television networks to start airing it and all these things that happened in its history. And if you put BYB aside the growth chart of the UFC, it's exactly the same. You know, I think we're now at the stage of the game where it's become accepted as a combat sport. And now you're starting to see media companies and distributors pick it up and air it on their networks. So I think from here is when you really see the growth over the next 3, 4 years of the sport as a whole.
Do you think there's still a lot of people that don't even really know that bare knuckle is like as big as it is right now?
100%. There's a ton of people that I speak to on a daily basis who all say, they say, really, that's a thing, bare knuckle? And you have to educate them. So again, there's still a cost of education in this business, and it's going to be like that for another couple of years, I believe. But as organizations come and go, and as BYB start to do more fights and more events and get our brand out there, it'll become more globally recognized, and then people will start to associate bare knuckle fighting with BYB.
That's what's up, man. And I definitely gotta, you know, pay more attention. I'm not gonna lie, I've been stuck on the BKFC so heavy, but that's only because, you know, somebody got me into this bare knuckle, and they kind of were on the BKFC side, a guy that kind of worked for him. But I have my critiques about BKFC and things that I really, really don't like, you know, as well as the things that I do love, you know, which is why I asked you the thing about the social media following. That's one thing I don't like, is I just want to see the best fighters fight the best fighters. And I think that's how it should be in any combat sport. You shouldn't go off of a guy's social media following. That doesn't make him the best fighter, in my opinion.
No, it might draw eyeballs for a quick second, but it doesn't do anything for your product. So we take a different approach. You know, we're very big into building talent, showcasing talent, putting on good fights that are well matched. And we feel over time that'll start to resonate with the crowd. And it has already.
That's what's up. Well, I appreciate you taking time out to do this. Sorry for the early issues we had. Before I let you go, though, is there any shout outs you want to do?
No, just a quick one. I just want to tell everyone and anyone who's listening, go follow BYB Extreme. All of our handles and all of our social media is at BYB Extreme. If you're ever in an area where we're having an event, please come to the fights, because it's the most exciting thing in combat sports. And if not, we're on Fuse TV, we're on BN Sports, we're on the Fight Network, we're in 30 different countries worldwide. So we are the biggest and the best thing in bare knuckle fighting. And once you see it, you'll know why.
Thank you, man, for taking this time to do this. Anytime you need any fighters interviewed, please send them our way. Like I said, I only got the one fight, the one BYB interview with the Spider. I was supposed to interview Liam, but I guess the schedules kind of got conflicted. Plus, them UK guys, they're always like five hours ahead. So,
yeah, no, we'll keep in touch with Don and as many guys as you need. We'd be happy to put them on. I've had a great time on the podcast, and hopefully we can work together again.
All right, man. You take it easy, Greg, and have a nice day, man.
Thanks, Paul. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it.
Bye.
Peace.
All right. Bye.
Well, there you go. That was Greg Bloom, CEO of BYB. He became CEO like 2 years ago, 2022. And as you heard him, he said he was literally the entertainment lawyer for BYOB since 2019. And when he was offered the CEO position, he pretty much decided to take that. Very interesting to hear about BYOB, which is really the competition to BKFC. And they're not as flashy, but as you heard him, they're more about the quality of the fights, the quality of the fighters, trying to put the best fights against the best fights. They don't really go off of social media followings, which is something that I really is a criticism that I have with BKFC, is how like guys, you know, get fights based off of social media following and ticket sales. And you got some guys that are actually the face of BKFC, but they haven't won a belt yet. But yeah, I need to stay more in tune into BYOB myself. That's the Backyard Brawl Fighting Extreme Series. Their next event is in BYOB 34, Brawl in the Pines, December 6th, Pembroke Pines, Florida, at Charles Dodge Center. And they do a lot of events in Florida, which I do know a lot of the fighters and bare knuckle live in Florida. A lot of them train in Florida. You got Gustavo Trujillo versus Richie Leake, Cub Hawkins and Zion Tomlinson gonna fight it out. Jamie Driver versus Sonya Drilling, I think that is. Gerard Grant, who used to be in the BKFC, if I'm not mistaken, versus Joshua Oxenine, Robert Duran Jr., son of Roberto Duran, and Richie Palomino. And no, he's not related to Luis the Baboon. Joshua Richie versus Yampier Ramirez, Jordan Fuentes versus Steve Pasci. And you got Shelby Cannon with fighting. Oh, man, I can't even pronounce her name right. Eris Nelsi Torres Castillo. And then you got Muhammad Eldwanski versus Unisky Gonzalez for the cruiserweight. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 fights, man, lined up for y'all. I'm definitely going to check it out. Make sure y'all check it out. And I want to thank CEO Greg Bloom for coming on. We had some technical difficulties earlier with the sound and whatnot, but we got it figured out. And once again, I want to thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of the Paul Pickett Podcast. Peace, and I'm out.